Perfect purification of the mind is made possible when one is fixed in the conviction of being the eternal servant Therefore, simple attainment of goodness is also an eternal mode. One has to surpass the stage of mature goodness and reach the point of purified goodness, or Vasudeva Sattva. This Vasudeva Sattva helps one to enter into the kingdom of God. We may also remember in this connection that the process of gradual emancipation by the devotees in the manner mentioned above, although authoritative, is not viable in the present age because of people's being professional protagonists. Because of people's being primarily unaware of yoga practice. The so-called yoga practice by the professional protagonists may be physiologically beneficial, but such small successes cannot help one in the attainment of spiritual emancipation, as mentioned herein. 5,000 years ago, when the social status of human society was perfect in Vedic order, was imperfect Vedic order, the yoga process mentioned here was a common affair for everyone, because everyone, and especially the Brahmin and Kshatriya, was trained in the transcendental art under the care of the spiritual master, far away from home, in the status of Brahmacharya. Modern man, however, is incompetent to understand it perfectly. Lord Sri Chaitanya therefore made it easier for the prospective devotee of the present age in the following specific manner. Ultimately, there's no difference in the result. The first and foremost point is that one must understand the primary importance of bhakti yoga. The living beings in different species of life are undergoing different terms of engagement according to their fruited actions and reactions. But in the execution of different activities, one who secures some resources in bhakti yoga can understand the importance of service to the Lord through the causeless mercy of the Lord, as well as that of the spiritual master. A sincere soul is helped by the Lord through meeting a bona fide spiritual master, the representative of the Lord. By the instruction of such a spiritual master, one gets seated bhakti yoga. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that the devotee soul seated bhakti yoga in his heart and nurture it by watering of hearing and chanting of the holy name, faith, etc. of the Lord. The simple process of offensively chanting and hearing the holy name will gradually promote one very soon to the stage of emancipation. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. The first stage is the offensive chanting of the holy name, and the second is the reflective stage of chanting the holy name. The third stage is the offensive chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the second stage, only the stage of reflection between the offensive and offensive stage, one automatically attains the stage of emancipation. And in the offensive stage, one actually enters into the kingdom of God, although physically he may apparently be within the material world. To attain the offensive stage, one must be on guard in the following manner. When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means that not only should one chant and hear of the holy name of the Lord as Radha Krishna, or systematically the 16 names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But one should also read and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. The primary practice of bhakti yoga will cause the seed already sown in the heart to sprout. And by a regular watering process as mentioned above, the bhakti yoga creeper will begin to grow. By systematic nurturing, the creeper will grow to such an extent that it will penetrate the coverings of the universe. As we have heard in the previous verses, reach the fallen sky, the Bhagavad Jyoti, and go farther and farther and reach the spiritual sky, where there are innumerable spiritual planets called Vaikuntha Lokas. Above all of them is Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. When a growing creeper enters and takes the pose at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. When one reaches the lotus feet of Lord Krishna at Goloka Vrindavan, the wandering process of hearing and reading and also chanting the holy name in the pure devotional stage fructifies, and the fruits grown there in the form of love of God are tangibly tasted by the devotee, even though he is here in the material world. The ripe fruits of love of God are relished only by the devotees constantly engaged in the watering process as described above. But the working devotees must always be mindful that the creeper which has so grown will not be cut off. Therefore, he should be mindful of the following considerations. 1. Offense by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if it enters. Number two, one must be very careful to guard himself against such offenses at the feet of pure devotees, just as one protects a creeper by all-around fencing. Number three, it so happens that by the watering process some weeds are also grown, and unless such weeds are rooted, the nourishment of the main creeper or the creeper of Bhakti Yoga may be hampered. Number four, actually these weeds are material enjoyment, merging with self in the absolute without separate individuality, and many other desires in the field of religion, economic development, sense enjoyment, and emancipation. There are many other weeds, like disobedience to the tenets of earlier scriptures, unnecessary engagements, killing animals, and hankering after material gain, prestige, and adoration. Number six, if sufficient care is not taken, then the watering process may only help to breed the weeds, stunting the healthy growth of the main creeper and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate requirement to love of God. Number seven, the devotee must therefore be very careful to uproot the different weeds in the very beginning. Only then will the healthy growth of the main creeper not be stunted. Number eight, and by so doing, the devotee is able to relish the fruit of love of God and thus live practically with Lord Krishna, even in this life, and be able to see the Lord in every step. The highest perfection of life is to enjoy life constantly in the association of the Lord, and one who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of the material world via other media. So we're back again, text 13, the Lord in the Heart, in which a description has been given about the tedious process of forming the Astanga Yoga system, wherein one is regulating the life airs, moving them up the chakras, and eventually trying to break out and attain the liberation of going to the higher planets. For a Bhakti Yogi, of course, Prabhupada makes it very clear that for a devotee of Krishna, liberation means to be reinstated in one's constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. So that is the main importance, that is our prime focus. So here there's a description, and these descriptions will be explained in later chapters of the second canto about how the gross and subtle forms, or these coverings, are merged into the totality, or they are merged into the Mahatattva. We hear how the mind is naturally to be situated in the mode of goodness, and how the mode of later on the mode of passion is agitated, and due to the mode of ignorance, matter and knowledge and different activities of mature knowledge come into play. So the goal of the yogi in this situation is to merge everything back into the Mahatattva and go into the Brahman effulgence, where there's inactivity, where there's dissatisfaction, and where there's no peace for the ego. As Krishna speaks to Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita, he explains how the conditioned souls are eternally his parts and parcels, and the nature is that the part is meant to serve the whole. So we are this marginal potency, we are only superior nature, but the cause of our ignorance is our constant engagement in materialistic activities which increase material demand, which increase our lust and further entangle us in the modes of material nature, which includes the mode of goodness. So Srila Prabhupada explains that one should aspire for the Vasudeva Sattva or pure goodness, which will pierce, which will allow the living entity to pierce through all the gross and subtle coverings of the material universe, pierce through the Viraja river, and enter into the kingdom of God and into the dominion of the Vaikuntha Lotus. So that is the point for a Bhakti Yogi, whereas a yogi who depends on his own strength, who depends on his own yogic mysticism, can only go to the high kind of transcendence, and that is not the real liberation that the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, wants its readers to get. Real liberation that we're looking for is to understand that we are eternally servants of Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya, of course, came and descended into this material world to show the highest esteem of being a servant of Krishna. So we know that the mystical aspect of bhakti yoga is that the servant enjoys more than the master. Hence, Lord Chaitanya himself, Krishna, comes in the form of a devotee to serve the Lord, because that is the highest enjoyment. So even Lord Chaitanya himself came to show that actually we can enjoy more than the Lord. Hence, the Lord himself comes as his own devotee to relish the highest form of bliss in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is something that is very wonderful. In order to actually understand the absolute truth, to understand Radha Krishna Tattva, we have to go through the agency of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, specified his desire for us to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra above all other mantras. Of course, we understand from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Panchatattva mantra is more powerful, because there are no offenses committed when one chants the Panchatattva mantra. However, because we are followers of Lord Chaitanya, he had instructed that we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada taught us to chant the Panchatattva mantra to get the mercy of the Panchatattva and then enter into chanting the holy name of the Lord. So for us, this is how we will attain liberation. This is how automatically we will attain the status of living with Krishna as his servant. We understand that Krishna is the only Ishvara, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasava Pritya. That Krishna is the only Ishvara and everyone else is the servant. So whether one be on the path of jnana or yoga, the fact or the reality is that we are servants of Krishna, and our real satisfaction or peace can only be attained once we are in that situation, once we're in that position. So Prabhupada explains that it is the devotee only who can attain peace and satisfaction. No other yoga system can actually give peace and satisfaction. So what's being explained here, of course, it is a bona fide process for a different age. Prabhupada explains this. But for us in Kali Yuga, we have a few frailties. In the beginning parts of the Bhagavatam, when the sages are discussing how to perform the Sarva-Yajna, they explain how the fallen condition of the living entities in terms of how are they going to remember Krishna, how are they going to practice any yoga system. So the sages say, Pranena Pranisha Sadhya Kala Asmini Gejana Manda Sumana Matayo Manda Pagyani Padrichaha. So this age is called the Iron Age, that men in this age are, they have short lives, and we can see that. Some people are very fortunate and very lucky if they live up to 100 or 75. We have short lives. We are constantly quarreling over petty things. We are very unlucky, and our minds are always disturbed. This is the situation of the material package of our material body in Kali Yuga, the gross and subtle aspect of our existence in Kali Yuga. Therefore, this process, this tedious process of Ashtanga Yoga, or trying to practice pranayama by regulating life areas and moving them up, it is a very painful and laborious process that is not practical in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, starts speaking about the process of Bhakti Yoga that has been outlined by Lord Chaitanya. So it is a very, this purport is very detailed, and it is absolutely difficult to actually do it justice, because Prabhupada is speaking about the most important aspect of our devotional process, and that is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the pure chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, with the understanding of avoiding the 10 offenses. So we'll just discuss over a few points that Srila Prabhupada speaks. So Srila Prabhupada, the first thing he mentions when he's speaking about the path of Bhakti Yoga is that we must understand the prime importance of Bhakti Yoga. That yes, there are many yoga processes, even now, there's so-called different systems that are meant for our physiological benefit, mental benefit, etc. But actually for Kali Yuga, it is impossible to attain any perfection without following Bhakti Yoga. The science of Shravan, Kirtan, and Vishnu Smaran, the 9 processes of Bhakti. So the living beings in different species of life are going from one universe to another, being driven, of course, by the attachment to fruitive mentality. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the Lord is instructing Shri Sanatana Goswami, he explained, Brahmandra Brahmite Kona Bhakya Varanji, Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. It is explained that the living entity is wandering here from one Brahmandra to another, from one planet to another, and somehow by the Lord's inconceivable mercy, you understand the Lord is in the heart, seated with every living entity. Somehow by the Lord's mercy, he sends the sincere soul, the spiritual master, who will guide him back on the path of bhakti. Hence, this process of bhakti yoga is very, very special. Once we have an opportunity to serve Krishna, this is the greatest service we have in the universe. We have to understand the importance of service to the Lord through the causeless mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master. So the spiritual master teaches us the process of bhakti, and the spiritual master puts us in the association of devotees so that we can practice the process of bhakti yoga. So this process, of course, is recommended by Lord Chaitanya. This process of hearing and chanting has been recommended by Lord Chaitanya, especially in the association of devotees. So this is a very important point, because Srila Prabhupada finishes off the purport by giving pointers as to how we can attain perfection in chanting Hare Krishna, and we can only do that if we are always protected and guided in the association of devotees. It is not possible just by ourselves to be exclusive and try to exclusively perform Bhakti Yoga by ourselves. We need the support and we need the guidance of senior devotees, of devotees around us. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts explaining about the bhakti creeper, or the seed of bhakti that is situated in the heart. Now the seed of bhakti, of course, as we understand, is inherently in everyone's heart and all the living entities. However, the reality is some living entities choose not to want to perform bhakti. We're all at different levels. Even with the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we all chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at different levels. So the Shastras explain that the Maha Mantra is like Chintamani. The Maha Mantra reveals the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, and it reveals the pastimes of the Lord. Now this all depends on our sincerity of chanting. All these, the revelations of the potency of the holy name is all dependent on the sincerity of the individual. So yes, the holy name is powerful, it is supreme, it is pure and potent, but this is dependent on the attitude of the follower. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Instruction, advancement in Krishna consciousness, or spiritual advancement and its success is all dependent on the attitude of the devotee. So depending on our attitude, we can grasp the holy name, we can make a tangible process on the path of bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada starts speaking about the simple process, as he explained it, the simple process of offensively chanting and hearing the names of Krishna. So it is very simple. There are 16 names that we repeat and we listen to. But Kali Yuga makes us handicapped. We cannot control the mind very easily. So we have to practice every single day to reestablish this lost sambandha, this relationship with the holy name, which is none different from Krishna. Just as the form, the Acha Vigraha, it is Krishna himself. But because we have the impurities, whether it is karma or jnana or economic development, pratishtha, whatever impurities we have, we cannot see that the Acha Vigraha is none different from Krishna. So we require constant purification of the heart. So this constant purification, Lord Chaitanya in his 8 instructions explains this Chaitanya Dharma Mahajanam, that it begins by cleansing the mirror of the heart and our consciousness. And in this way, it becomes very easy for our bhakti lata to grow. So the seed has been sown in the heart by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnava. Now it is upon the individual to nurture the growth of the bhakti creeper. So, Lord Chaitanya explains to Srila Rupa Goswami, Upajya Bhadilata Brahmananda Vediyaya Viraja Brahma Loka Vedi Karavyomakaya. As one waters the bhakti lata bij, the seed sprouts, and the creeper gradually increases to the point where it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River, between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahmaloka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through that stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. So the Bhakti Yogi has that potency that just by the simple process of Shravan Kirtanam, which is what will water this Bhakti Vatanesh, we can pierce through the Brahman, we can pierce through the separation between the material and spiritual, will be gross and subtle covering, and attain Goloka Dham. It is very simple for the Bhakti Yogi. Whereas for the mental spectators or for the Jnanis and the Yogis, it is a troublesome feat which can take thousands and thousands of years. So what was possible in Satya Yuga, in Shvetra Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, it is possible by simply offensively chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is a very, very powerful way of realizing that to reinstate ourselves, it is very, very simple. We have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offensively, practice devotional service in the association of devotees. And through this combination of chanting Hare Krishna, service to Krishna, and associating with the devotees, we can make advancement. So Lord Chaitanya continues explaining this watering of the creeper of devotion. Tahan vistari tahana kala prima pala ihanvari sachinita shravana ijala. The creeper greatly expands in the Goloka Vrindavan planet and then produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener gradually sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting. So it is not enough that we just understand, yes, I am part and parcel of Krishna, yes, I am spiritual, but now we have to water the creeper, we have to take care of it, because as you may have known, if you're taking care of a garden or a plant, simultaneously as you water the plant, there are natural weeds that will grow around the plant. Now we have to be aware of such circumstances, and we have to know what to do in case weeds grow. And mostly sometimes the weeds, they look like the real creeper. That is why Vaishnava Sangha is very, very important, because the Vaishnavas can see if our bhakti creeper is being attacked by creepers, unwanted things in the heart. By ourselves, we do not like to see our faults. We think we are good, we think we're great, we are an ocean of good qualities. It is very difficult to see our forehead, but someone else can see. Therefore, Vaishnava Sangha is the mercy of Krishna. We always say, Yasya Prasada Bhagavan Prasada, Yasya Prasada Nagati Kutobi. Prasada doesn't only mean the bhoga that's been offered to Krishna, or the chanting and dancing in the street. Prasada also means the Sangha of devotees who are able to guide us back to home, back to Godhead. So when we water the bhakti creeper, there are other devotees around who are guiding us, giving us strength, giving us courage, motivation, keeping us on track. So it is very important that we always stay in the Sangha of devotees, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned as well in this purport, that we have to practice in the association of devotees, because they will help us when these weeds start attacking. On a battlefield, if you are at war, the soldiers are one unit. Whether they're attacking thousands or millions of other soldiers, but they're always looking out for their fellows. They're always looking out for their mates who are also on battle. So in the association of devotees, it's not that we're practicing alone by ourselves. We have other mates, we have the spirit of camaraderie, we have other devotees around us who will protect our bhakti creeper. If we're chanting and we're falling asleep, it is the mercy of the devotee to come and tap us on the head and say, "Hai Vokalu, you're nodding off." Or if we're inattentive in our service, it is the duty actually of the devotee, of course, to remind us how to perform our service properly. Not that we are dealing with devotees' cases all the time, but it is Krishna sometimes working through the devotees to help us be attentive. So we shouldn't think every time, oh, I'm going to the temple, they're going to tell me how I'm not doing this or that, or as soon as someone says, oh, trouble, we're thinking, oh, they're going to tell me what I'm doing right or wrong. But no, all of this is shaping us to become pure Vaishnavas. So in order for our bhakti rasa bij to grow properly, we have to water it with the hearing and chanting. Now Prabhupada mentioned that it has to be constant hearing and chanting. Not that one day we're really focused and the next day we space out. It has to be fixed tivrena bhakti. It has to be focused. We have to know what our goal is, attaining Krishna, not just being free from the material suffering. Kleshagni is the first phase when we just enter the ocean of devotional service. We're free from material suffering. And then all auspiciousness comes. We have to go further than that. So the hearing and chanting process is feeding our bhakti lata. And by that hearing, attentive and constant hearing of the holy name of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, this bhakti creeper will grow and pierce the gross and subtle covers of the universe. And although we might still be here in this material plane, but we are connected with Krishna. We are relishing the fruits of love of God, as Prabhupada mentioned. Those who perform their shravana and kirtana attentively and constantly relish the fruits of love of Godhead, even while living on the material plane. So this is proof that if we purify our senses, we engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikena and Rishikesha, seven of Bhakti Uttate, that the senses become purified. That the iron rod, you put it in fire, it becomes like fire. So our senses become spiritualized and we're able to see Krishna with love, with prema. Our eyes become anointed by love of God and we're able to relish the beautiful form of Shyamasundara. We're very easily able to relish the form of Sri Sri Gaurangi of Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra because our vision has been anointed by the power of love of God. Our hearing has been penetrated by the sound of the previous acharyas. We see through the eyes. We hear through the through the shastra. We see Vrindavan through the eyes of the pure devotees. And by their mercy, they reveal all of these secrets of bhakti. So to attain pure chanting, to attain offenseless chanting, Prabhupada mentioned that we have to be on guard. We always have to be on guard of weeds that might be growing. So actually our chanting just doesn't begin when we hold our japa bag. If you remember the 10 offenses, all these 10 offenses happen before we even start chanting. So chanting revolves around our entire lifestyle. We prepare our lifestyle in such a way that our chanting is pivotal, it is the center. That our chanting has the is done at the best time, it is done with the best attentiveness, and in that way it is easy for us to focus on the holy name. So we know the 10 offenses to avoid before chanting Hare Krishna, and these offenses include the beginning by avoiding offenses to the devotees, the Vaishnavas, being respectful towards all of the spiritual master, the scriptures, understanding the supreme tattva of Krishna and not equating Krishna's name with that of the demigods, etc. There's 10 offenses that we've been educated when we walk into the bhakti yoga process. So Prabhupada mentions further that we have to be on guard, we have to understand what these offenses are as well, and that we avoid these offenses. And in the association of devotees, it is very easy to understand how to avoid these offenses because we follow the footsteps of devotees, we follow the instructions of devotees. So Prabhupada mentioned 8 points that we can read later during the day, which begins by avoiding offenses at the lotus feet of the devotees, the Hatimata offense. That although our bhakti kripa might be there, but if we offend devotees, it's likened to a mad elephant entering a garden and trampling the garden. So we might continue with hearing and chanting, but so long as we offend devotees, the plant will not grow. We can water it, we can expose it to sunlight, but it's already been destroyed by this powerful process of offending the devotee. So this one is a very, very important one to try to avoid at all costs. If we perform this offense, our devotional life is stunted. Greatly, greatly stunted. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that if we want to gradually elevate ourselves from Namaparad to Namabas and Srimanam, chanting purely, we have to avoid all these intricacies, beginning with offenses to the devotees. Further on, Prabhupada focuses more on what these obstacles or these weeds that grow around the bhakti kripa are, whether it's material sense enjoyment, wanting recognition, name and fame. All of these things we have to learn how to let go. So the acharyas have given us wonderful books like Nectar of Instruction, where we have information about which things spoil our devotional service and what will enhance our devotional service. So all the information has been given. And by studying those books, by studying these texts, were able to actually attain a pure state of chanting. So chanting Hare Krishna, the association of devotees, offers us real liberation, and that liberation for Bhakti Yogi is being reinstated as the eternal servant of Krishna. But Krishna says, where his offices, where his parts and spot, his parts and parcels. Therefore, we should act in that capacity. By emerging into Brahman or becoming one with the Lord or attaining the mystic siddhis, we are never at peace or we're never fulfilled. That is not our original propensity. Our original dharma is that we are parts and parcels, servants of Krishna. And only in that state can we attain everlasting peace and satisfaction. Only the Bhakti Yogi, Prabhupada explains, only the Bhakti Yogi can attain peace and satisfaction. So yes, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he will outline the different processes, but ultimately Bhakti Yoga is always supreme because that goes beyond the gross and subtle coverings and it takes us back to our original consciousness, our original tattva, servants of Krishna. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. How to overcome pratistha? Well, if we are always in the association of devotees, it is very obvious that around us there's devotees who do service in a very wonderful way. And when we see that, that should humble us. And as His Holiness Devaraja Swami always mentions that we should always understand that somewhere in the ISKCON world, someone is doing the same service much better. So that should always humble us. And if we read the previous lives of the Acharyas, if we study Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita, we will be humbled to see just how much service they would do for Krishna. Even if we just look in our own lives, the devotees who are taking care of us or who maintain Srila Prabhupada's preaching temples, that should humble us into thinking that we are just, you know, very, very small, insignificant servants of Krishna. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being humble and understanding our position, that we're very, very small. But we're significant when we perform devotional service for Krishna's pleasure. So if we keep association of devotees, we will be amazed at the wonderful qualities of the Vaishnavas. If we have proper sadhusanga, we hear the realizations of devotees, we hear devotees speak about Krishna, that will eradicate the lust and the envy from the heart. Because pratistha means we want attention on us. We don't want anyone else to get attention, so that is the contamination of the consciousness. But if we're hearing about Krishna's pure devotees and their pastimes, if we're hearing proper Hari Katha in the association of sadhus, these feelings of lust and envy get diminished, and we'll want to serve those devotees. So if our hearing is amplified in the right consciousness, in the right association, the lust and envy will be removed from the heart. We won't want any recognition of name. We'll just want to serve those devotees. Does that help? That's good.
The name of Prabhupada mentions three stages of chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And the second stage, which is Namava stage, is stated as the stage of reflection.
State of reflection. Okay, so the three states of chanting, Nama, Prana, Suranam. So in the second stage of chanting, which is the hearing stage, that's the hearing stage or the reflective stage. So there, the art of chanting Hare Krishna Mahani Goswami had explained is that when we're purely chanting the holy name, of course, it's like the sun has already risen. But on the Namabhas platform, we see the rays of the sun. And the rays of the sun, they are powerful enough to dissipate darkness, to dissipate the gross ignorance. However, there's still some tinges of imperfection. That is why on that second stage of chanting, it is very easy to make rapid advancement, because we just have a little bit more to purify, and then we'll properly chant the pure name. So it is a shadow reflection of the pure state of chanting. So this reflective stage basically means we're chanting Hare Krishna, but we're 50% there. It has here the gross impurities and majority of the subtle impurities. However, there's still a little bit that remains. And one is aware of that in the Sudanam, sorry, in the second stage of chanting. We are aware of that. We are aware of the obstacles, and we're aware of the clearing phase. And we make the proper steps to actually elevate ourselves. Because we're no longer in the gross mode of passion and ignorance. Our consciousness has been elevated. Therefore, we are aware of the different creep, of the different weeds and the different things that might stunt our chanting. So the level of surrender is, and the level of faith is at a different platform as compared to one who chants Nama Prabhupada. And by gradually focusing on the chanting, focusing on performing our service, we can spring very easily to the stage of pure chanting. So the second stage is a reflection, because it is giving us a taste of what how potent the pure name is. It is merely a shadow, a reflection. It's just giving us a tinge of the potency of the holy name. Therefore, that makes us strive to chant the pure name. That is why they call it the shadow reflection of the holy name. So we know everything gets revealed to us by the association of Vaishnavas, and of course by the mercy of our Guru. The Guru gives revelation. So although we're going through all these different stages, when the spiritual master sees that we have the qualification, because he has pure vision, when he sees that these impurities are going, he blesses us. And by Krishna's mercy, the mercy comes flowing through the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, and we get the ability to chant the pure name, to hear purely. So of course we don't only just always wait for Krishna's mercy, but we educate ourselves on how to get rid of impurities and how to get from the lowest platform to the highest. So we have to know what the weeds are, we have to know what the obstacles might be in our chanting of Hare Krishna purely. And through that knowledge, we will avoid committing those offenses. And sometimes Krishna does let you know in the heart when you're committing offenses. He will reveal to us sometimes when you're committing offenses. A devotee will approach us and say, I was disturbed by something that you said, or I was disturbed from, can you work this out? This is Krishna's mercy because Krishna always wants us to make tangible progress. So if we study what the offenses are and we try wholeheartedly to avoid them while continuing with our devotional service, that should always go on. Our realizations come as we practice bhakti. Not that we just sit and chant, but we do some practical service. The realizations come through our practice. So if you stick, as Prabhupada mentions here, our chanting and the association of devotees, it'll help us stay on track. And everything will get revealed by the agency of Guru and the Vaishnavas.